Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Okay, we're live. Hi, this is William Ramsey. Welcome to William Ramsey Investigates. On today's show, I have a very special guest. He comes to us from the UK. His name is John Wedger. His last name is spelled W-E-D-G-E-R. And he came to my attention. Somebody reached out to me. My listenership is doing me a lot of favors because I've had these really great recent guests from the recommendation of people listening to my shows. So somebody said, hey, you should reach out to John. I might have come across him researching in a while, but I hadn't heard his name, but he sent me some links to some of the interviews he's done. He is an ex or former Scotland Yard detective who currently campaigns for the protection of whistleblowers and justice for the victims and survivors of child abuse. He is a whistleblower as well. And he's also exposed the dark side of the police and this cover up of high profile names. A lot of names that if you listen to my show, you'll know these names. He's had many attempts to have the police jail him. He knows about satanic ritual abuse. I've studied a case, and I included it in my book, Children of the Beast, and that was the case of Colin Batley, which is a documented case of satanic ritual abuse. So it's not some kind of fantasy or some form of satanic panic. It does exist. I don't think it's very common. Maybe John thinks it's more common. But he can talk more about that. So some of these names will pop up. So, John Wedger, welcome to the show.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me, William.
Excellent. You know, we were talking in the pre-show. My first interview I ever did on my YouTube channel was with somebody you were just with, Corrine Hutz, about. And I've interviewed her recently. But my first interview maybe 4 or 5 years ago was with her. So we have a kind of a mutual association. But for people who may not have heard your name, John, can you kind of – I included that brief bio, but can you kind of go through your background and how you found this calling to speak out against child abuse and cover up?
Yeah, no worries. I become quite well known in the UK, and then it sort of spread. I've got a following globally now, and it's all by default. I never went out for any recognition at all, really. But my position is that I'm a retired police detective, and I'm a whistleblower. And for that, what qualifies me to hold that title is that I spoke out whilst a serving detective with Scotland Yard. And I was investigating vice crime in London, and we had an allegation come forward from a young girl, 13-year-old girl, that she was being made to work as a prostitute. So I was given the case and said, look into this. We think she's a liar. She's made allegations before. She's in the care system. She's basically, to get rid of her. Go and speak to her as we've got to, but we don't expect her to go anywhere. Anyway, I went and I sat down with this little girl, and she was in the children's home outside of London. She's from London, central London. And then she regaled this story to me, and it was appalling. What she was saying, that she was being made for the last 2 years to work as a prostitute. She was given crack cocaine and heroin in exchange. And it was a woman that was pimping her out. The woman was a prostitute, and she was very well known to the police. I knew who this woman was, and she was very well known to the vice unit for a long time. And funny enough, that there had been rumours that she'd had involvement with young girls, and they'd never pursued it. And this little girl, she said, look, there's not just me, there's many others. And she gave me the name of another girl, and I went to see this other girl, and the other girl said the same. And she gave me the name of another girl, and it sort of went on and on and on and on. And it was just like snowballing. You know, there was two of us working on it, and then we started gathering the evidence. And these girls were, it was started off with the one, and it went into the dozens, and then more than that, you know, the list, it was well over 30, and in a very, very short period of time. And they were all children of drug addicts or dysfunctional families. And these children were picked up by this woman. They were taken to various venues, usually hotels, and they were made to have sex with men. But they were traded at different locations. So, for example, in the morning, they could be taken to a crack house, one of the many sort of crack houses in the ghetto parts of London, and they'd be exchanged, passed around amongst the, you know, the drug dealing and drug addict community, and exchanged for rocks of crack cocaine and wraps of heroin. And then in the evening, they'd be taken to upmarket Mayfair, which is a very opulent part of London, upmarket restaurants, and trading amongst wealthy Arabs for, you know, in for amounts that, that went into the thousands. But what made it even more sinister was the client list. You know, these girls were telling us of people that were involved with the police, high up in the police, judges, people involved in the entertainment industry. So when we put the evidence together and we pushed forward with it, because we wasn't given enough resources, we were hoping that once I put an intelligence package and took it to the management, they'd take this on as a major investigation. Because, you know, these children, their lives were at risk. They were being used in gun crime. One of the little girls, for example, she was taken to a place where a drug gang had kidnapped someone, and she was made to take part in the execution of this man. She put an iron over his body and his face, and was used to torture him. You know, she was only a young kid herself. You know, so they were involved in a very, very dangerous world. And so I was expecting the senior management, the higher sort of ranked officers within the Metropolitan Police to look on this favourably and to afford us the necessary resources that we needed. But in fact, the opposite happened. And what resulted in was a very senior officer threatening me. He threatened me in a very obtuse manner, telling me that if I mentioned anything of what I knew, that I'd lose my home, my children and my job. Now, I was a single parent. I was bringing up four children on my own, and my children are now grown up, thank God. So he was threatening to get my children taken off me, get my house taken off me, and I'd lose my job if I ever mentioned what I knew about this disclosure. And then he said something very strange. He said, look, if you mention anything, you'll be thrown to the wolves. He said, I or no one can help you. You have no idea how deep this goes. Now, I didn't know what he was on about at the time, you know. I thought that in some way I had professionally embarrassed the Metropolitan Police, but I didn't know to what extent. I was very confused, and I took the threat very seriously. But things took a very dark turn, because there was a big attempt to really scale the investigation down. In fact, it only resulted in the prosecution of offences against one of the girls. The prostitute involved, she had very serious connections with the police. She did go to prison. But again, out of the dozens of children involved, only her testimony was used. And shortly after giving evidence, she was found dead in suspicious circumstances. You know, her corpse was dumped on the street with a suspicious overdose. Justice was never held for this girl. She, you know, no one was ever found accountable for her death. And her grandparents to this day still campaign for justice for this poor girl. So I thought that, you know, if this girl's brave enough to speak out, then I'll have to speak out. So I continued investigating similar cases. You know, on one case, within 1 week, I'd found 50 children that were being used as prostitutes. They all came from the same background, you know, economically very poor, dysfunctional, drug addicts' children. You know, one of the things I campaign against now is family values and the need to have a strong, cohesive family, because it's broken families where the children that are exploited come from, on the whole, you know.
And there was these care homes. There's like a element of abuse in all of these care homes in the UK. I can't remember. I read a story about one that was in an island kind of south of the UK. I can't remember it offhand, but there's been like stories of predators.
Yeah. That was in Hope de la Garenne in Jersey. It's very funny how all this dovetails together. And I will come on to that. It's very peculiar how these things are all linked. And it shows how organized child abuse is. You know, it's an international trade. You know, it's don't worry about drugs and weapons. You know, two of the biggest trades is a trade in children and a trade in animals. You know, it's incredible how much money is involved in the trade in animals. I've got an ex-colleague of mine. He works on that area now out in Africa. And, you know, we're talking a multi-billion pound industry there. But children are number one.
Children is huge. Children and sex trafficking are bigger than drugs.
Yeah,
Sex trafficking is a bigger, whether it's underage or anything. Like sex trafficking from, even older women are forced into trafficking from China or Asia in Mexico. It's a huge, huge industry.
Well, this is my big argument, because I say when I lobby Parliament, the British Parliament, quite a lot, and I tell them, I say, stop looking at Thailand and Cambodia and that. You know, the trade is going on underneath your nose. If you know how to look for it, if you recognise the signs, it's going on underneath your nose. We've got to stop pointing the finger at the third world countries and saying, look at, you know, these retarded backward banana republic places where children are commodity. It's going on under our noses in first world Western society. It's going on, you know, and it is. It's in fact, probably more so. Now I spoke out and I said, right, this is corruption, because I've been threatened for covering up, you know, what is the most impactive and most important crime here. So I made an allegation to a corruption unit within the police, and they did take it seriously. But what happened then, the investigation was taken off of them and it was passed to a national investigation unit. And what they did was they shelved it, and then they decided, because I was now a witness and classed as an intimidated witness, they decided to turn all their investigative efforts into me. So instead of investigating the allegation I made, they started investigating me. So there was a 4-year campaign to destroy me. There was 9 cases put against me to the Crown Prosecutor to try and imprison me. I was interviewed for, you know, and alleged to have taken part in some of the most bizarrest of allegations. They went through over 10 years worth of my work emails. And I was getting arrested for example, one of the things I got arrested for was theft. And it turned out it was theft of a piece of A4 paper, because I'd printed off an invoice for a private company.
And this was while you were working at Scotland Yard, correct?
Yeah. They alleged me of trafficking heroin. And said I could get 15 years in prison. I mean, absolute load of nonsense. Data protection violations, threats to kill. Because I told one senior officer, if you ever touch my children, I'll kill the lot of you. So they then arrested me for threats to kill. Yeah, and it was just bizarre. They stopped paying me. Now, bear in mind the threats that were against me. I was told you're going to lose your home, your job, and your children. Right? So now I'm looking at losing my job. I'm looking at losing my liberty. I'm looking at losing my home, because over that 4-year period, for 3 of the years, I never got paid. So I had no money. So I went sick, and I had to work in construction as a labourer for cash in hand to survive. And then...
What years were those, John? What years?
This was between 2014 to the end of 2017.
It's not that long ago.
No, not that long ago. One of the... they was just worried that I'd go to the press, which I did. I went to the press in great style, you know. I really hit that one hard. But one of the things that happened during that period, I'm now I've had the banks coming round to look at repossessing my house. I'm looking now at the, me going before a Crown Court, and one of the nine cases maybe sort of, taking hold, and I get prosecuted. If I went before a court and I was found guilty, they would hit me with the hardest sentence they could. I knew that for a fact. But I'd done nothing wrong, so I wasn't, well, I was frightened, but I wasn't going to back down. But during that period of time, one of my children got involved in a very terrible accident. It was a life-changing, life-threatening accident. And he was in a very bad way. In fact, he was actually declared dead for 10 minutes. He was in a coma for a long time. He was on life support machine. There was 5 days they gave him on life support before they pulled the plug. And see, I found my faith during this time. I prayed to Jesus Christ, and I said, you know, if you're giving my son back, I'll commit to your cause to help my children. And after 3 days, my son actually woke up, and it was a miracle. It was actually classed as a miraculous recovery. But during that three-day period when I was in hospital watching my son die, I came home afterwards. I was exhausted. I had no money. You know, life wasn't in a good place for me. But when I got back, there was police officers there, two detectives, and they arrested me for child abandonment, because whilst my son was dying in hospital and I was with him, I left my 15-year-old boy home alone with my 23-year-old boy, and they declared that criminal offence, and they arrested me for that with the intention then of getting social services involved, which meant there could have been care proceedings against my youngest child. So every single threat that was made against me sort of came to fruition. It was just evil, and it was evil. But at the same time, ironically, bizarrely, that this happened, Jimmy Savile had come to light as being not just a child abuser, a rapist to children, but a child murderer and a necrophiliac and an active Satanist. And there was people came forward as a backlash of that. I always say the irony of Jimmy Savile was he ended up doing God's work, because as a result of what he did, a lot of people came forward, and the whole system got exposed. So what was once incredulous now had, a bit of substance behind it. So,
and a lot of other people were exposed alongside Savile too, because his associates, I can't remember some of these guys' names, but there were guys on TV who were famous there, and a lot of stories came out, and people started giving their testimony and telling their story, and it led up to just this year they had that documentary on Netflix, which is another exposing.
Yeah, and what happened, it was really strange, because, and I want to talk about that documentary as well, because it's very interesting what came out of that. But there was other police officers came forward, and I thought I was alone in what I'd done. But there was one officer who came forward from the north of England who had spoken up against the grooming gangs, in which they got the Pakistani Muslim grooming gangs that were pimping out young girls. She exposed that. She was bullied, the same as me. And another one was a guy from Jersey. He was a senior officer in Jersey, and he'd spoke out about the children's home, Hope de la Garenne. And his name was Lenny Harper. And so what happened was we all...
I think I saw that there was a documentary he did, like Sand and Sea or something like that, Sun and Sea. Does that sound right? Does that sound familiar to you?
Well, there was a documentary called Sun, Sea and Satan by
an independent
filmmaker called Bill Maloney. And I'd actually reached out to Bill Maloney, and I went to see Bill. Now, Bill was brought up in the care system. He was abused in every single way from the age of four. A lot of that was by religious care homes, the clergy, Catholic care homes. He was sexually abused within them places, as were his siblings. And he grew up a very, very tough guy, a guy from the street, a good street fighter. And he went on to become a filmmaker. And Bill and myself become very close friends. And we still, talk on a weekly basis, even today. We were, you know, over the last 10 years, me and Bill have become like brothers. And all through
sorry to interrupt, John, but it just shows how important it is for people to put these documentaries or just something out and leave it there, because I was just during my research that I bounced across that documentary and just watched it. And it's interesting just now, and that's like linking it up to you, but it takes a lot of courage to come up.
Well, what came out of all of this was how we were all threatened, all us police officers were all threatened in the same way, exactly the same way. And I call it the algorithm of bullying. So how I was attacked, that's how Lenny Harper was attacked. Maggie was the other girl from Rotherham, which has come up on the screen in Greater Manchester. You know, she was attacked in the same way. And we all of a sudden had a voice. So we started lobbying Parliament. I started then going out and interviewing survivors of abuse using my detective skills. I would go around the country and I started talking to a lot of ex-criminals. And some of these were very well infamous gangsters in the United Kingdom. And one thing they all had in common, they were all sexually abused. And through that, I got to know Corinne Hutzdebart, who is one of the best sex offender profilers in the world. I mean, she's caught two serial killers, and she's got an incredible success rate in the work that she does, and she's one of the only ones who deals with child murderers. So I work closely with Corinne now, doing a lot of outreach work. I've just come back from Belgium working with her, but one of the things that started coming forward was that every now and then, you know, we would get people that would tell their stories in the children's home, the sexual abuse that went on, the cover-ups, how the children were denigrated when they left the school. There was a lot of anger, but because bear in mind, William Anger is trapped trauma. From there, they would get involved in crime, and they'd get involved in the criminal justice system, into juvenile detention and then adult detention. And it's the same cycle. It doesn't work. Our penal system, it fails miserably because they don't address the problem. It's got an 80% miserable failure rate, you know. And then there's a lot of drug addiction, because we got to look at addiction to things like analgesics, like heroin. I mean, heroin, you know, is a painkiller. And why do they take pain? Because they're in pain. These people are in a lot of pain, a lot of emotional pain, you know. And then 1 in 10 of the people I talk about would say, well, I was abused in a different way. And there was something different about these people. They were very, you could see that the trauma was chiseled very, very deep in them. They would actually get stuck in talking about it. They seemed like they were trapped and they weren't able to vocalize. And then when you did manage to get something out of them, they said it was to do with Satanism, devil worship, and it'll be their parents, usually the grandmother, and they would be taken to places, and they were ritually abused. And I never really sort of got to grips with it. And then Bill Maloney, he said to me one day, you know, your job is to talk about ritual abuse. That's your job. That's what God wants you to do. And I didn't actually want to. But the moment I did start speaking about ritual abuse, my word, I got attacked. I got attacked so badly. I had a huge social media following. You know, I could put out a video and the next day it could get 2 million hits. It was incredible. But the moment I started talking about ritual abuse, my word, the shutters went down. My hit rate plummeted. I was getting trolled. I was getting reports to the police that I was talking about cases that were ongoing in the court system. So I'll be getting threats from high up in the judiciary that I'll be prosecuted if I carried on talking about it. The videos were done against me, and there was very pro-satanic groups attacking me. And then I was given a document, and it's called the Reins List. And I implore anyone who's got an inquisitorial mind to look up this document. It's RAINS. It's an acronym, RAINS. It stands for ritual abuse. I think it's some ritual abuse investigation network support, something like that. And it's compiled by a woman called Dr. Joan Coleman. Dr. Joan Coleman was a leading psychotherapist at a top London psychiatric hospital. And like myself, she would talk to survivors of sexual abuse. And she started seeing a very similar pattern that every now and then, one in 10, they would talk about this ritual side of it. And they were clearly different in their demeanor. And what happens with ritual abuse is that they're tortured. And the most degrading and appalling things are done to them, which I want to try and highlight as best I can, because I think people need to know this. And it causes a fracturing of the mind, which is a condition known as DID, or multiple personality. Now, Dr. Joan Coleman was interviewing people, and if two or more survivors of ritual abuse mentioned the same person, she would document it, right? Because it was corroborated then. And then she made it public. So there's an extended list and there's this public list. And it's the public one is a 16-page document. And it's a who's who of Satanism in the United Kingdom. And there's politicians on there. Jimmy Savile's on there. One of my old bosses in the police when I was on the vice unit is on there.
Wow.
And I think you should read that and then look at that Netflix documentary, because some of the people they interview on that Netflix documentary on the Jimmy Savile thing, now I'm going to be careful here because I've been bitten before, they may or they may not be on the Rains list. That's all I will say. There's not many witnesses that they give evidence, but there's one or two that do, and they may or they may not be on that, and it's worth cross-referencing, right? Very worth it. And again, especially pay attention to witnesses from law enforcement. And it's appalling. Now, I've given this document to the Minister for Crime, the politician who's the government-appointed Minister for Crime. One of my co-workers actually handed the document to David Cameron, who was the Prime Minister at the time. So we know for a fact that it went right to the top. The guy who handed the document to David Cameron ended up getting a two-year prison sentence and spent most of that in solitary confinement. One of the main campaigners against Satanism is a man called Wilfred Wong. He's now serving a 23-year prison sentence.
For what?
Well, kidnap. But there, it's loaded. There's more to it. The official evidence is that he kidnapped a child. Reading between the lines that this is a rescue attempt gone wrong. And bear in mind, Wilfred's focus was satanic ritual abuse. We can only but draw an inference that maybe that child might or might not have been connected with something to do with satanic ritual abuse. Again, I'm very cagey with what I say now, because the Satanists will attack. Wilfred Wong, without a doubt, is one of the most upstanding, decent, bravest people I've ever met. He's a close friend of mine, and I stand by that guy. And I will. Now, bear in mind, I'm a former investigator for child abuse. I continued my campaign to help victims of abuse. I would not align myself with anyone that was in any way doing wrong for a child. So I stand by Wilfred Wong, you know, all the way. So, you know, so when you start looking at satanic ritual abuse, things take a very, very sinister turn. And again, if you look at Hope de la Garenne, the children's home, in which, please watch the documentary Sun, Sea and Satan. I know you mentioned it, William, Sun, Sea and Satan by Pye and Mash Films. Phenomenal bit of independent investigative journalism by a guy called Bill Maloney. But the copper that was running the investigation, who again has become a very close friend, a guy called Lenny Harper. Lenny Harper got information that, you know, children weren't just abused in this home, in the basement, they all said about the basement, that there were other things going on in the basement. And I've heard that there was ritualistic abuse going on in the basement, that the children were tied up, they were shackled, they were abused and died down there, you know. So the basement area was filled in with slurry, with sewage and all sorts. It was filled to the brim. And this guy, Lenny Harper, he got it excavated. And he took with him one of the best cadaver dogs there was. Well, in fact, reputedly to be the best, until this guy's reputation was absolutely sullied by the McCann family. The two parents whose daughter went missing. Funny enough, the dog was the key link to their dead daughter, and they tried to ruin the dog. And Madeline McCann, yeah, and the two parents attacked the dog handler, and this dog handler was actually used in the Hôte de la Garenne, and it was brilliant. The FBI took this dog on in the end, so it showed, you know, the credentials of this dog. And again, the McCann's very questionable as to their narrative, but when they excavated the slurry and the sludge in this basement, they did it to an archaeological standard with archaeologists and with anthropologists, and they found bone, and that bone was not only identified by two cadaver dogs, it was then, you know, rectified by the anthropologist as being that of a child between, you know, infant school years. And there was a trace of collagen on the bone as well, which verified it being human. Now, the bone went off to the laboratory. They also, as they took it right the way down to floor level, they found blood staining on the walls. They found a bath that was used. They found shackles, everything to corroborate the victim, you know, those that survived, their narrative of ritualistic abuse and torture and murder. And the bone went off, and when the result come back, they said it was coconut shell, you know, and the bags had been tampered with, and it was all sorts of skullduggery that went on. And then, of course, Lenny Harper was attacked, the same as myself, the same as Maggie. And Lenny said something to me, he said, "You'll find the tentacles of this go right to the heart of the establishment." When I had my campaign, you know, and bear in mind that the prosecutor, for the police, that they refused to proceed with any case against me, right? So every single case was thrown out. Bang, they all went. They all got dropped, every single one. I had the backing of the policing and crime minister, which is a cabinet minister for the British government, very high up, you know, front bencher on British, you know, the British political scene. He was brought in by the Home Secretary, who's one down from the Prime Minister. And the Home Secretary said to him, "Stay away from John Wedger." And the next day he was removed from his post. He lost his job for supporting me. So what are they hiding, you know? But the ritual abuse stuff, any abuse on a child is evil. It's a work of evil, full stop. But when it's deliberate and it is done with the worship of Satan, Lucifer, whatever they want to term it, even when you look at the other negative deities such as Santeria, Opia, Voodoo, you know, and many more, you know, Santa Muerte and all these other offshoots, they all worship the same demons. When you look at demonology, it's the same gods all around the world that they worship. And it's a mockery of Jesus Christ. So every single victim and survivor of ritualistic abuse I've spoken to, they all say it's an attack against Jesus. I've never heard one say it's an attack against Allah. I've never heard one say it's against Muhammad. It's against Vishnu. It's against Ganesh. It's against Hanuman. It's against Buddha. Never. Ascended masters, whatever. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. That is what they don't like. And the blood of Jesus Christ was sent to save us, so therefore it's a blood ritual. And so they use blood. So everything is done with blood, blood oaths, blood rituals. And the blood of a child is the cream of what they want. And I've heard some shocking testimonies over the years, you know, real appalling things, you know, and they will use the children, the survivors, they will use them to murder the other children. And of course, that causes a conspiracy of silence, and that causes such an entrenched trauma that they struggle to talk. You know?
It's interesting you use that term, conspiracy of silence, because that was Tim Tate's documentary about the child trafficking ring out of Omaha, Nebraska. And he wrote a book about SRA. I've interviewed him like four times. But he wrote that book, Children for the Devil, Ritual Abuse and Satanic Crime. And they went after him. I think they pulled the book. He got sued. I wrote a book about the West Memphis Three. I should just do a three-hour story of how many attacks I've endured for 10 years. Like, I don't really talk about it, but I never got sued. They're incredible.
I get threatened with being sued. I got threatened to be sued the other day because I didn't even mention a politician. I alluded to a politician, and then some weirdo who decided that that was enough tried to pursue it and said that he's gonna take out a case against me and sue me. You know, all the time I get a transgender who attacks me, so it's bizarre looking cross-dressing drag queen type thing. Whatever I do reports me to the police if I say anything that they deem as homophobic, anti-Semitic, Islamophobic, whatever.
They'll I get come to your house in the UK too, right? If you like or say something hateful or racist.
Oh yeah,
I keep seeing videos of cops showing up at people's houses saying you posted something mean online.
And what they do is they end up prosecuting the victims. So the victims will come forward and say that they were raped by a politician. The next thing they get sued.
That's what happened to Conspiracy of Silence. They went after the victims of the trafficking.
It's disgusting. It's wrong what happens in the UK. And it goes to show that there's a reason why. I mean, I spoke to someone the other day and they're a contractor and they were called in. I can't say what because it give it away, but they got called in to a building because access had been denied, and the security services were there and they needed to get through to another part of the building. And what happened is there was a satanic ritual going on, and a group of the Satanists had left this building in central London while someone else was in a room nailed to a cross upside down, dressed as Jesus. And for some reason, access got shut off and they couldn't get back into the room. So they had to call a favour in, and the intelligence services come down and the building contractor had to come and force entry into this room and remove some bricks and all sorts. And he was made to sign a non-disclosure agreement. And he said it was someone quite well known that was tied to a cross, dressed as Jesus. I mean, these are the people that are running our country. You know, when we're
running our country too. It's not just yours; it's mine too. These guys all have weird occult ties, and all of our most recent political leaders, whether they were in a tomb or have sketchy occult things, or in gay bars, or bathhouses, or just all kinds. From both sides of the aisle in our country.
What we got to look at, William? We got to look at where it has actually been exposed. And one of the best cases is a case in Belgium of Marc Dutroux. If anyone wants to look something up, look up The Beast of Belgium. Marc Dutroux, Dutroux, Dutroux. This case was in the mid-90s, and it was a guy who was just a bum, really. He was just like a labourer, and he was he owned quite a few properties, but he was abducting young girls and he was keeping them in sex dungeons through various parts of Belgium. And he'd built these cells underneath various buildings, and he would take these girls to parties. And quite a few girls died, but, you know, a couple survived. And when they spoke out, they said, you know, look, there were members of the aristocracy, the clergy in Belgium, political leaders, business leaders were all part of M6, and it's just unbelievable. And 90 civilian witnesses died in the lead up to the trial. 90.
Right. His associate died. All these people surrounding him were found in graves. It was incredible. Burnt bodies. It was a slaughter. And that list of all those people was like the aristocracy of Belgium. So all of the political elite were all in on it. And there was a huge march. It was a nationwide thing. It's like their Epstein. Because it involved all these names that never got investigated or prosecuted. Interesting. Yeah.
Well, they had an experienced prosecutor on there. And he was removed. And then the most important case ever in Belgium criminal justice history, they appointed a novice prosecutor who'd never prosecuted a case before, because Europe is not like the UK and the ex-colonies. So wherever the British have been, they brought a thing called common law with them, which is what you have over there. America has, Canada has, I think Jamaica's got it, lots of parts of Africa, Australia, and India, they've got common law, and it's actually a very, very good system, with trial by jury, and we prosecutors have to prove beyond all reasonable doubt that you did it, whereas everywhere else got Napoleonic law, where it's the other way around. You have to prove your innocence, and then it's governed and it's managed by a local magistrate, a local judge who coordinates everything. It's open to huge amounts of corruption. Not that the other system isn't, of course it is, but, so I started really sort of deviating from straightforward, it's all bad, but normal sort of straightforward allegations of historical institutional sexual abuse into the dark world of satanic ritual abuse. And my life changed. Let's put it that way. My life changed. I've had dead animals left outside my house, chickens' talons, markings on my wall like sigils. One guy tried to poison me. He was involved in Santeria, and he was trying to give me food that'd been poisoned, which is something which goes on. I had someone ring up and say that a baby was sacrificed in my name to try and stop me doing what I'm doing. We get people like Russ Dizdar, out over your side, who one of the leading guys who exposes ritual abuse.
Shadow of the Darkness, yeah. He just passed away.
I did a bit with Russ. I used to share a lot of information with Russ. He's gone.
Me too, yeah. He died from the hospital protocols, is my understanding. There's a whole series of murders here in the U.S. where they just got thrown in there, got remdesivir shoved down their throat, and they died because it was all the incentives were inverted so that the hospitals were making more money killing you than saving you. It's super crazy here in the United States.
Ritual abuse is highly, highly organized. There is a structure to it. The rituals are very, very important, and it works, and it does work. I've become a very, very committed Christian. I would never ever go nowhere near this if I didn't believe in Jesus Christ. It would be impossible. I wouldn't last 5 minutes. And I see a lot of people that they do go down very, very quickly. They get sick or terrible things happen to them because you can't, it's a spiritual warfare. And you can't go looking into this unless you've got some ground in the right sort of protection, and that is Jesus Christ. But it is, I would urge people, don't go anywhere near this if you haven't got a good commitment to prayer and a good ground in Christianity, because it's dangerous. It works, it's
very dangerous. These are very dangerous people, committed people. Murder is nothing to them, so you gotta really,
like someone said, how can you be a part-time Christian against the full-time devil? you know, that they commit everything. And there's a reward, you see. You've got to see why do they do it. But there is a reward, you see. Evil rewards people straight away. You know, God does it in his own time. You know, it is spiritual warfare. And it says, you know, we fight not against flesh and blood. But children are so important in this. They are needed, that, you know. And it just destroys. It destroys it. Sexual abuse destroys kids. It destroys their souls. It destroys their hopes, their dreams. You know, it's the most wretched thing. So we've got it all wrong in society, our value system, you know. The number one thing for law enforcement should be child protection. That should be number one. You know, we should be enforcing greater, stronger family values. We've got to get rid of this single parent, baby father, baby mother culture. It decimating the pornography. It is without a doubt going to be one of the most poisonous things society's ever known. We're yet to really see the harm that's going to cause. I think, you know, because it's, you know, porn on the net. Okay, it's been about a while, but not that long. But porn on these phones, these tablet phones, you know, that's quite a recent thing. And there is no way of preventing anyone looking at it. And, you know, our kids are watching it. And they can watch anything they want, any type of porn they want. And it's just absolutely going to... I can't even begin to sort of imagine what the pieces we're going to be picking up in about 20 years' time from all this.
Right, we're going to reap something very, very scary. And I've seen like 12-year-old kids, they've just totally been sexualized. It's the most bizarre thing. I never would have expected anything like that when I was 12 because of what they've been exposed to. But I was listening to Putin's speech, and he really is upbraiding the West for being run by Satanists. And I just
wanted, he's right.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, right. Exactly. I thought the same thing. The guy's telling the truth. You're right. Yeah. We are run by a bunch of Satanists.
You know, and that's why there's a need to silence him. And anyone who speaks out against this, you watch the attacks come. You know, they come from every single angle. You know, it's non-stop. Someone said to me once, "Are you fed up of being attacked?" I went, "Yeah." And they say, "Right, it will stop when you give up."
Right.
And I'm not giving up with this. You know, I'm not giving up. This is a calling, and I'm going to keep doing it. But, you know, it's very interesting, William, that you say about Putin, because now he's going on about Satanism, right? Years ago, no one would talk about it. Never. And now it's coming out.
I've never heard that in a political speech ever. I don't know. In any country, maybe. I have to go back and really look through.
And the other thing is, you look at Epstein's island, you know, there was a labyrinth. You know, and then there was ancient Egyptian occultic edifice, you know, edifice, or whatever it is, you know, the plural for edifice.
Yeah,
you know, that is ritualistic. You know, the labyrinth is very important, you know, and you know, the ancient Egyptian magic is also very important. You know, that you see that a lot. It's very, very common.
I thought they had a statue of Horus. I could have swore it was Horus, and there was Neptune, the undersea god. That's also a very important one, too.
You know, because Neptune is nothing more than Leviathan. You know, it's really strange, because I met with a survivor of ritual abuse. Now, these survivors have all killed children. So every single one I've spoken to, they've told me they've killed children. Every single one. But they're children when they do it, but... this guy said, you know, that they use trigger words to silence you. I said, okay, you know, because I want to know why the people are kept in slavery. And, you know, every 13 years, see, Satanism is very important. Dates are very, very important to them, right? Now, Jesus Christ clearly said, no one will know the time and the coming. You know, even the angels in heaven don't know. So no one, people say about this, the coming of Jesus Christ, when it'll be, and they know. No, they won't. No one knows. They're a liar. That's how you know the difference between good and bad, because good doesn't know the timing, right? Evil does. Evil has everything tied down to the minute, right? And 13 is a big thing. So every 13 years, when involved in Satanists, they have to take part in another ritual. They're called the I Wills. And it's taken really from the book of Isaiah, I will be like the Most High, I will ascend to heaven. So everything is a twist on Christianity. And they'll stick to it. So at 13, 26, 39, boom, boom, as they go, they have to attend these rituals. If they don't, then the next year they're gone, they're finished. So we see this a lot with these celebrities that die at the age of 27. So people like Jim Morrison, Amy Winehouse, they call it the 27 Club. Well, that's because they're coming out of Satanism. They don't want anything to do with it anymore. And then that's it. The next day, the next year, they self-implode because they're coming out of the curse, you see. You know, and there is a way. They've got to go to Jesus Christ, and there will be protection in there. But you can't just walk out of it, you know, because it will come with such a terrible, terrible risk. You know, but this guy said, I said, give me an example of the words that are used to control you, to trigger you. And so he said a phrase, and it was consist of two words. Now, the first word was the river that goes through Hades. Now, when you look at it, it's not the river Styx, it's called something else. But when you cross this river, you forget your previous lives. So the reason they say that word to him is so he has amnesia. And then the next word was the Norse god Odin, his Odin son that was blind, and said that. So even you've got, you know, the ancient Greek mythology is used in it, and then you've got you know, the Norse mythology is used because Odin's son was blind, so that means he can't see it. So you know, these things, this mind control is very strong element to ritualistic abuse.
It's a very, it's always a handmaiden to occultism. All occultists have blatant mind control or mental manipulation, or something always is involved in that. So you're always lying to people, controlling people, getting in their minds. I've never seen it without it. I've never read Satanism. Unfortunately, I have read a lot. I've never seen it without that, without some form of
coercion. But we see it all the time, don't we, in popular culture. You know, it's got to a point where it's a joke now, especially the music industry. You know, I don't trust. We hear a few of these musicians that say they're now Christian, you know, and I don't trust them, right? And the reason I don't trust them is that they should be proclaiming Jesus Christ, their Lord, their Savior, and speaking out. But they don't. They're not speaking out, and they're not naming people. So therefore, by their fruit shall you know them. Stand up and speak out. If you've got something to say, speak out. What are you afraid of? And of course, they're afraid the system will take them out. And the system is afraid of being exposed. But the one thing is for certain, William, it is going to be exposed. The light will be shone on it, you know. If you know, I've done a little bit of work with John Ramirez. I don't know if you're aware of John Ramirez.
I think he's from New York, right? Wasn't he?
He's from the South Bronx. And he was telling me about Marilyn Manson. He calls him out. He calls out Marilyn Manson. He's got no qualms about it at all, you know. And I've heard so much about so many people.
Manson was deep, and he was in a recent ritual with guys with occult ties, with Kanye West, Bieber, not an occult tie, but him just being in this like Christian ritual without really divulging all the stuff Marilyn Manson. And we can go into all kinds of ties through the UK crimes and all kinds of stuff that he's not divulging. You got to make you kind of wonder.
Yeah, but you know, people like Marilyn Manson and some of the others, you know, they're stupid. They're fools, as well as being perverts and everything else. Where do they think it's going to get them? Look, we're all going to get old and every one of us is going to die. I don't know what they think is going to happen to them, but whoever they worship is a liar. You know, the devil is a liar. And they're heading for an eternity of pain. See, a lot of people tell me, they say, look, I don't believe in what you say. And I don't care. I'm not out here to make any friends. I'm not out here to influence people. I don't care. I don't care what people think. You know, it's entirely up to you. We're all going to find out one day. Every one of us is going to be our last day on this earth. And we're going to be our last hour on this earth. We're going to be our last second on this earth. And we're going to take our last breath. And we're going to soon find out you know, if there is a God, if there is evil, whatever, we're all going to find out. I want to know that I've done everything I can to protect children and to expose Satanism. Everything I can to do it. And I think I will do a good job of it, you know, because who's backing me is stronger than who's backing them, you know. And who they follow is a liar. And they can give them all they want, all the wealth and the fame they want, but where's it going to get them? You know, going to give them a one-way ticket to hell, you know, and good luck with that one. You know, but this system needs exposing, and it does. Our judicial system needs exposing. You know, our corrupt family courts need exposing. You know, the prison system, all of this is part and parcel of failing our children, our education system. You know, we are suffering like you are in America with these drag queens doing story hour. You know, what pervert of a parent would allow their children to sit in on that? What, where is the benefit of that? You know, a drag queen, someone who clearly is a victim and a survivor of sexual abuse. You know, that's a damaged individual who hasn't got any trauma or treatment for the pain they're suffering. They're over-sexualized, and they're imparting this on young children. Surely they know the pain of childhood sexual abuse, because clearly when you look at these people, they've come from it. And I would say near enough everyone has come from it. You know, they know what sexual abuse does and how it destroys you. So why are they doing this? Why are they promoting it to these poor little, you know, pups? You know, it's very, very distorted, twisted logic.
No, it's happening here. And they put into the U.S. school system all these very provocative, I mean, some of them are porn books that are like being distributed. And there's a huge battle here that the parents don't want this to be want this to happen. And then like the FBI here was being sent out by the DOJ, like the literal head of law enforcement in the United States, to harass these parents. It's unbelievable to harass the parents who don't want their kids sexualized. So.
Yeah, I mean, this is what we're seeing. And, it, you know, he says it in the Bible at the end times, what is good will be seen as bad and what is bad will be seen as good. You know, and this is what's happening, you know, and it's such a shame that we are losing, you know, these overt mouthpieces, you know, and I say that in a respectful manner, like Russ Dizdar, you know, who was standing up and speaking out and was really doing a good job at getting the information out there. Bang, one by one, we're seeing them shut down. And, you know, we need to ramp this up and we need to all stick together. The problem you get with victims and survivors of sexual abuse. Now, I'm a supporter of them. I'm not one to attack them, but I want to give them some advice. Stop attacking each other. Unify and stop attacking each other. And a lot of these support groups, when they set up survivor groups, they all collapse, all of them. Everyone collapses. Because they haven't addressed their own trauma and they fight with each other and they always collapse, you know. And a lot of the people that attack me are survivors themselves, and it's called projection, you know. That you go from hero to zero in a heartbeat when you don't do what they want you to do, you know.
Yeah, this is one of the weirdest things I've ever seen, which is Marilyn Manson being covered up with Kanye West, who liked Alejandro Jodorowsky and Adam at his wedding, with Justin Bieber at a so-called Christian, I think it's Hillsong, which is very questionable, Hillsong ritual. It's off the charts.
Yeah. Someone said to me, you know, what do you think about Kanye West being a Christian? I said, well, he's a liar. If he is a Christian, then speak out about all the fetid abuse that you saw take place in the music industry.
Yeah, he did out. Too. He's allegedly and a heavy abuser and knew LaVey. Like, you would think that he would just tell all his stories, but I haven't heard one of them yet.
Well, so again, strange. I mean, you've just shown a picture of Anton LaVey there. I mean, Anton LaVey on his deathbed allegedly screamed out, you know, screamed out for too. God. Yeah, you know, well, it's too late, Anton, you know, you screwed up, mate, you know, too late. You know, you had every chance to redeem yourself and put this right, but you chose to worship evil. And same as Marilyn Manson, why are they giving airtime? You know, who's allowing them? You haven't got to look at those that do it, but look at those that allow them to do it, you know, and those that protect them. And then you'll start seeing who's really higher up, you know. But that Marilyn Manson, he's an idiot. The bloke is an absolute idiot, you know. He's a fool. He's stupid because he's worshipping the losing side, and what he's doing, he's hurting others, you know. And look, from what I know of ritual abuse, right, there, it's not a spectator sport. So anyone who says, oh, I went along and it wasn't for me, is a liar. It's like anyone who said that they went along to a Masonic meeting and then decided it wasn't for them. They're a liar. You can't turn up at a Masonic meeting and just watch. You've got to be part of them before you take part. It's the same as Satanism. If you're in a satanic gathering, you will drink blood, and that blood will come from a child. And that's that. You're not walking out of that room until you've drunk blood. You know, and that's that. So they're liars when they say, oh, no, it wasn't for me. No. You know, that's what you did. So when they're worshipping this, what they tell you what they're doing, and they don't tell you what they're not doing, you know? What they, you know, and that will, there will be torture, the torture, the mutilation and the raping of children. And because Jesus Christ came here to protect the children, right? So everything's got to be about that. This is the essence of life. And also there's money involved in this. So people will pay money for a ritual to take place and a blood sacrifice to promote them in whatever field. So I heard of a football player, a soccer player, as you call it over there, in the United Kingdom, Premier League one, and he paid for a ritual to take place. But it involved the mutilation of a young boy, a young African boy, you know, and his body was mutilated, his arms, his legs, and all that, you know, was left was his torso. So, and he did that because he wanted to be the top in his field. I heard of one guy who went on to become a world champion boxer, that he took part in a ritual, and he's now become a born-again Christian as a result, you know, because he can't cope with what he's done. So, you know, that there's always a reason. Businesses will do it as well if they want a business to succeed. You know, in the construction industry as well. You know, especially in Africa. You know, when there's a big project is put together. You know, I've heard rumors when they've had a human sacrifice to you know protect this building through whatever goes on. You know. So a child will be sacrificed to maintain the structural integrity of the building, and that it goes on to make money for them.
Wow. I've heard there's tons of witchcraft. There was a whole investigator in South Africa investigating kind of occult crimes too. I tried to reach out to him. I forgot his name, but there's all kinds of witch doctors.
I mean, you've got a guy over he was in New York. I think he's now in Florida. A guy called Ralph Saatchi. He's a former New York police detective. He worked with a guy called Malachi Martin, who was a chief exorcist. They made a film called
Deliver Us From Evil.
Deliver Us From Evil, yeah. You know, I spoke to Ralph quite a lot, you know, and, you know, it's incredible. I'm so surprised that the NYPD actually took this forward. But the police in the UK, oh man, I've given them copies of the Rains list, and not one of them have ever sat down with me and said, come on, let's talk about this. What do you know? I've gone to them with so much information regarding ritual abuse, and no one has ever sat down with me. Never, not once. You know, and it's not difficult for them to find me. That's him, yeah, Ralph Saatchi, you know. I mean, Ralph's a committed Catholic. And he worked with Malachi Martin. And Malachi Martin is a brilliant documentary called Hostage to the Devil, which follows his work. I think Ralph goes on to give a little testimony in that, you know, homage to Malachi Martin. So there's plenty of stuff out there. And you know, there's film after film after film, you know, showing the occult and how it works. You know, so it's no secret. So this isn't nonsense, but the United Kingdom is so far behind it. It just refuses to ever allow it to be exposed. But it does get out there, you know. Every now and then there is a prosecution. We've just had one in Glasgow in Scotland where 12 people were prosecuted for abuse of children, which was satanically linked.
I heard about that. What do they term it in the press? I forgot that.
I think they put it down as Satanism. 12 convicted of sex crimes and linked to Satanism. But there's been quite a few high profile ones in the UK, but not many. Not many, yeah. It's
I don't know what it is. I'll have to look it up after.
But it see what happens is that the United Kingdom intelligence services get involved. Right, so when children make allegations involving politicians, and they have come out, we had it with the Elm Guest House. It was a place where male politicians were visiting using rent boys. And I've spoken to some of the rent boys who are now grown men. See, this is the range list. It's an incredible document. It really is an incredible document. Why that has never really been the Satanists attack it all the time. That's probably a satanic one with grudge list written on it.
I don't know if you can find it. Let's see.
But it, you know, that's it. Oh, that's it. Ritual Abuse Information Network support. You know, there might not be many names that the US audience know, but there's plenty that the UK audience know. So there are these little nuggets out there that sort of signposts away, you know, through all of this. But it's that's good. That's worth listening to. This guy here, his name's Alex Thompson. He's a former intelligence officer himself. Lovely guy.
I've talked to Chris Spivey too. I've interviewed Chris Spivey about what he wrote about the elite. Yeah, so
I mean.
Spivey. Maybe it's on Spivey, Spivey, sorry.
Yeah, I have to navigate my way through very carefully because there's a lot of people that do get carried away, and they go down a route which could be deemed conspiratorial, and you've got to be very balanced, you know, in order to keep your credibility. You've got to keep a balance. But there's enough stuff out there, especially regarding our political elite. But the reason the intelligence services get involved is because, you know, this sort of information, you know, especially if Putin was to get hold of it, could be incredibly detrimental to the political instability. I mean, Cyril Smith, that guy there, see this guy here, Cyril Smith, the fat one. He was a Labour MP. He was caught with child pornography in his car. The police officers arrested him. And then the intelligence services, our MI6, MI5, they intervened and, and he never got prosecuted. Because what it does, it causes political instability. And then they put things like D notices on them, which is like gagging orders. Well, they're actually defence notices. They're a military tool. To prevent information being leaked.
Right, but then he becomes an owned man, right? We did you a favor. You're our guy.
Of course, of course.
You do what we tell you for the next rest of your life.
It's got blackmail value, you know? Yeah. There's always going to be a payoff all the time, you know? Always there's going to be, they'll be called on. And there's,
I'll put a link to the Reins list. I think it's the full thing is on Christopher Spivey's site.
Yeah. And you know, I mean Ted Heath. I mean, I've spoken to victims of ritual abuse. Have said they've witnessed Ted Heath. I've spoken to two witnesses who said they've seen him cut people's throats, like little children's throats. You know, he would turn up regularly. Ted Heath. You know, he an active Satanist. This was a prime minister.
I heard that he used to go take kids out on the boat, then do horrible things, and then just
dump
them in the water.
I mean, and then we got PIE. We got the Paedophile Information Exchange, which is a pro-paedophile political group, you know. And their backers are still part of our Labour Party today, you know. We got Margaret Hodge, Patricia Hewitt, and Harriet Harman, three female Labour politicians, all right honourables, still standing in Parliament to this day, who were backing this group, you know. And one of them, one of these women, you know, they wanted the age of consent reduced for boys to 8 and for girls to 14. One of them went on to become appointed minister under Tony Blair's government, Minister for Child Protection. I mean, it's sick. It's sick to the core. You know, and we got Prince Charles, and we got to look at who he's connected to. His best friend was a man called Bishop Peter Ball. Bishop Peter Ball is a convicted paedophile. And one of his victims went on to commit suicide because of the abuse he endured, the sodomy that Ball put him under, you know. And Charles protected him, openly protected him, and Charles denigrated his victims. You know, so, you know, Prince Charles, you know, wretched what he's done. Again, Paul Boateng, you know.
He's king now, right? King Charles III.
And it's just incredible, you know. Right. You know,
this picture is incredible too. This is just a nightmare gallery of the usual suspects: Michael Jackson, this kind of magician who has his own allegations, Boateng, and then Jenner, who was he get convicted, or he just was?
I know a victim of Jenner's. And this guy spoke out about him, and he was persecuted. This guy for speaking out for him. You know, the report has just come out from Jenner. 34 victims were taken seriously. 34. There was many, many more, you know, all for sodomy. But he got away with it, you know, because he was classed in his own religious community as being a good Jew, because he's, you know, a Jewish peer, and he was a Nazi hunter. So he forwarded the campaign to expose a lot of the Nazis. So they always saw him as, you know, this man who did a lot for that. But, you know, they didn't realise, or maybe some of them did, that, you know, what they were doing was promoting a child rapist.
Wow, it's just, you know, incredible. It was a cover for him. I'm a good Nazi hunter, but,
he hid behind his religion and his peerage to get away with it. Well, who was backing him? Who was allowing him to do it? Again, Boateng, you know, was, you know, a barrister, you know, went on to represent many cases. Well, you know, that's just sick.
This is actually interesting, because I didn't know Peter Mandelson was on this list, but there's a picture of Mandelson and Epstein together close to the island. Let me see if I can find it.
Yeah, and Mandelson's on the Rains list.
Right, that was it. I was reading from the Rains list.
Yeah, he's on the Rains list.
Let me see if I can see this picture. I didn't know he was on the Rains list.
Elton John's on it.
Really?
It's just absolutely incredible.
This is them together.
You know, people need to wake up. They really do. Too. They need to wake up and stop giving these people the credibility they don't deserve. You know, these are...
He got green custard. At least he got something. Somebody threw
something. Yeah, well, he needs a lot more than that, doesn't he, you know?
Yeah.
I mean... You know, and...
Do you recall offhand, John, how many pages the Rains list is? Because I think...
I thought it was 16 pages.
Okay, so I think a lot of it's in here.
And the venues. I've spoken to victims who corroborate the venues as well, you know. I've spoken to quite a few people that you know, sort of... he's another one, Tony Blair. I mean...
He's a war criminal, yeah.
Unbelievable. It goes on. And I mean, I know a couple of guys, they made it their life's work to expose this, you know, but they take it to the grave because the system just attacks them. You know, one poor old guy, you know, the police are always investigating him because he's been doing, he was a lobbyist, a local councillor, and he was a senior social worker for many years. And if it wasn't for him, a lot of the paedophiles in Parliament wouldn't have got exposed. And he's constantly being harassed by the police. And the intelligence services had a campaign, and he got three bullets put through his window once.
Wow.
You know, but it's worn him out. It's been his life. But you know, the press, you know, two departments need a real kick in the arse, really. And it's the church. The church needs to be speaking out. The church needs a proactive wing, and they need to be speaking out against this. You know, they're the antithesis of Satanism. They should be screaming and shouting to expose this, but they don't want to know. And the other one is the media.
Yeah.
They're putting nothing out about it. Nothing.
If your job requires you not to look at something, somebody famously said, I forgot who the guy was, you won't look at it. So all those people, they don't want to risk the gravy train they're on. The media.
Well, it's the same with me with my career. William, you know, I thought I was really doing a good thing, you know, and I was attacked so violently, so viciously, I couldn't believe it. And I thought, well, what have I done? You know, I really thought that I was bringing home the biggest case I ever had. And it was just, get rid of that. You can't expose that. My word, what have you done? They didn't expect me to expose it, you see. And when I did, it was like, there was a big problem. Now, this is being orchestrated rather than the police, you know.
And here's Elton John, you mentioned Katie Lang, Pam St. Clement. I don't know. A list of some of the financial contributors to group.
Well, Pam St. Clement, she's a soap opera actress in a thing called EastEnders. It's very famous in the United Kingdom.
Yeah, that was super famous, yeah.
Yeah, and she plays the barmaid, Pat. She's a lesbian and in real life, in the soap opera, no, but you know that's who she is. So we got to look at what is the secret of these people's success. Well, look,
right, Ian McClellan. I mean, he's huge.
Yeah,
I didn't expect to see him on this too. Contributions from this group alone this year, number £80,000. It's a huge amount of money.
Yeah,
so they're putting money into this stuff. Wow.
I mean, it's gold. This is going back a long way. This is back to the 90s. It's not that old. I think it was updated in 2003. But it's like I say, you know, look at Marc Dutroux, right? And you see in living memory, you know, this, and then look at the Reigns list. Very similar from the same sort of year, same sort of era. And it's there in volumes. Why no one has picked up and made a documentary about, you know, and connecting both of them. Marc Dutroux was a Satanist, you know?
Oh, I didn't know that. Do you know what his satanic? I know that his friend was definitely a Satanist. His name was, I remember his face. Oh, I can't remember. But they had rituals. There was all kinds of claims of ritual stuff going on.
Yeah, and members high up in the clergy, the Catholic clergy involved. See, on that list, you've got the Cardinal for the United Kingdom on there.
Oh, wow.
He's named on there. The Cardinal. His name is on that. Crying. You know, it's
places, so you have all the locations where the stuff happens.
Yeah. It's all in the new
forest. I'll put a link here. I'll put a link so people can look through there. But yeah, people attack everything. Oh boy. I mean, there's a lot going on. John, we're at about 80 minutes. Do you have time to take a few questions? A lot of people
are asking. Yeah, of course. Yeah, please. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
This guy left, Jolly left. He said, I don't know about Jolly. You mentioned Wilfred Wrong. You explained your ties. Did you collaborate with politician Tom Watson? Asks Babe.
Tom Watson. I have met with Tom Watson. I've met in Parliament with Tom Watson. Tom Watson did speak out. He received information from another politician called Jeffrey Dickens. And that was a file went missing and had a list of all sorts of allegations and people to do with Satanism. And this one politician did speak out about it. He unfortunately died, and it was then passed on to Tom Watson. These politicians, their hands are tied, you know, but I have sat down with Tom Watson. I have sat down with him.
Gotcha.
He is aware, but it doesn't go anywhere. They're, you know, they can't take it any further. I mean, there was one politician, a cabinet minister, and he stood up in Parliament and said, had he not stood by John Wedger, he said he would be dead. And I was shocked to hear that. And he said, yeah, he said that if I hadn't have shown that I was colluding and standing by you, you'd have been gone, mate. You know, so.
The other question is, Wedger worked with Bill Maloney, we mentioned, and Chris Faye on the interrogation of Andrew Ash. I don't know.
I never worked with interrogation. There was no interrogation of Andrew Ashworth. Andrew Ash is he's a fool to himself. Bill Maloney is a very close friend. Chris Faye is a guy who's made it his life's work. Andrew Ash, I've had nothing to do with him. And I wouldn't trust him.
Interrogation is a formal term. That means you're in and a police environment.
That,
so yeah,
there absolutely. Was no that. I wouldn't
entertain the question. It seems like you interrogate somebody. I mean, yeah, unless you really
entertain that person. They're misinformed.
And then let's see. These are questions a little loaded. Very confusing. He already explained his affiliation with Wilford Wong, who is in jail for kidnapping. Illustrate Life asks, I have to ask, how many care homes are run by the quote church unquote? I think this is going on.
Yeah, now, yeah, if I may answer that, you see, the care system is a business, and it's actually, when we're going about trafficking, children in care homes is trafficking because they're basically sold. Now, there was a big children's home. There was an anthropologist by the name of Dr. Bernardo, and he set up this children's home, and he exported tens of thousands of children. In fact, he sold them under auction to Canada, and he sold them to whoever was buying them. So some were going to, most of them were going in for cheap labor, and some into sexual servitude, you know. There's appalling cases of it in Canada. And a lot of it was run by the church. The church set up a lot of homes in the UK. There was a lot of sexual abuse that went on within these homes. Now, there's something very interesting that came out about, especially I'm going to only talk about the Catholic homes here. Now, 80% of the Catholic homes were offshoots of Catholicism. So they were different orders. So they were like the Order of the Brothers de La Salle and various other factions, and 80% of these orders are not answerable to the Vatican, so they have no adjudication.
Still there? He dropped off. The guy who I was trying to remember. Oh, sorry, you just blipped out for a second. Can you restate that? They're not affiliated with the Catholic orders, right?
Well, what they are, they're self-governing, so they don't come under the adjudication of the Vatican. So there is no one to manage these. So they're basically self-managing. So whenever there's a complaint against them, they deal with it themselves. So whereas it should have gone to a higher body to deal with, and then they should have brought in sanctions, there isn't any. So any complaint, they deal with a complaint. So it's like someone saying about John Wedger, look, we've got a complaint about John Wedger, and it's given to me to investigate. So there was a lot of abuse within these church homes, a lot.
Gotcha. Another Oswald asks, is Wedger familiar with the work of Alex Thompson and David Scott of UK Column? Does he approve of their coverage of abuse?
Yeah, well, I mean, Alex Thompson, he actually narrated the Reigns List, so he gets a massive thumbs up. I've done an interview with David Scott. The UK Column were the first ones to put my testimony out there, and I thank them for that, because had they not done, I think I would have probably been arrested for speaking out to the press. So I've got no problem with them. In fact, I applaud the UK Column for what they have done in the past.
Gotcha. And this is the guy who I'm pretty sure I read about. He's an associate of Dutroux, who practice some form of occultism.
Okay, right, yeah.
Michelle New, who will have to go back and look at
that. Oh, Michelle New, yes, right, yeah.
My memory's a little fuzzy. I saw Mr. Wedger briefing Bill Maloney and Ben Fellows at the Notting Hill Tabernacle at a UK Column event in 2011. Was he still a policeman then?
I retired in 2017, so that should answer that.
Let's see. Ben fell off, accusations were made, money collected, and eventually it all disappeared, as did Ben. He returned with a new name, Zed Phoenix, once forgotten. Have you heard that story?
I know he changed his name, but whatever he's done, that's nothing to do with me. I mean,
gotcha.
Who knows?
Let's see. Has Wedger heard of Allison Miller's work on SRA? She's in Victoria, BC. And does he think there's much difference between North America and UK SRA?
I've never heard of her. I'm going to look her up, though. Now he said that. There won't be any difference between it at all. It's ancient. It's all based on the same premise. You're going to get regional variations. But even if I look at stuff to do with voodoo, for example, it'll be the same. So the gods will be named differently. So one of the deities that's worshipped in Satanism is Leviathan, right? The serpent of the water. Whereas in Africa, you know, West Africa, they'll call it the Mammy Water. And in Santeria in South America, they'll call it a very similar derivative of that. So it's all the same when you break it down. They're all the same gods. They just have
the same gods. It's same in the order of nine angles. My most recent study of kind of occultism, they worship the, you know, what is it? The same god in Greek and Roman stuff.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's like Zeus and it's like, you know, Thor and all them. They're all just variations of it, you know. Neptune.
Sean, Wake the Dead. Does John believe the police are working for the Satanists who are abusing the children?
Ooh, I mean, that's... I mean, by their fruit show, you know them. I mean, one thing I'll say is the police aren't doing enough to expose Satanism, if anything at all. And in doing that, if they probably are doing the work for the Satanists. I don't have a problem with police. I have a problem with corruption. And we have corruption in high office. My problem was corruption in high office. Lower down, it's more stupidity than it is corruption. But high up, there definitely is a cover-up. So with that question, what I'd say, high up, without a doubt, the police are doing the work for the Satanists high up. Lower down, no. I wouldn't point my finger at the low-level detective or constable, no, but in high office, undoubtedly.
And this is something that actually came to my mind while you were talking about the police. What do you think about Freemasonry and the police department protecting each other?
Yeah, it does go on. It does. You know, without a doubt, it's... I don't think there should be an oath within an oath. I've seen it happen. I have seen it happen many times. Yeah. And again, very covert. It's a secret society, but without a doubt it happens. And it happens in the criminal world as well, you know. But they'll both deny it if asked. But yes, it does.
They have to.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Illustrate for Life asks again, have any of the victims you've tried to assist received any form of justice?
Have any of the victims? They've received healing. They've gone on to get compensation. One went on and her father did get convicted. So, yeah. I mean, what you've got to understand is that I'm not law enforcement, you know, and I'm not international rescue. I have no access to intelligence indices. All I can do is open source. I've only got the statutory any person power under common law. I've got no extra powers. I've got none of the trappings that police officers got. You know, the access to information I had in the police was phenomenal. But in respect to people receiving freedom through recovery, and through therapy, a lot. And I have got untold amounts of emails thanking people for what I've done and steering them in the right direction. Incredible amounts. So, I mean, without doubt, I've got a lot of evidence that will back up the fact that what I was doing was the right thing.
Gotcha. And Ritual Abuse Is Real ask about Karen Irving. Do you know her name? Are you familiar with her?
Karen Irving is a Satanist.
No.
And she runs a group called Hoaxed. I interviewed her. I don't think I've ever interviewed her.
I interviewed with her. I think that she's the one who says Hempstead is fake.
Yeah, she's a Satanist.
She's a Satanist, so I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's proven.
Yeah, Karen Irving is part Hoaxed. She's not a nice individual.
Okay.
She's a troll as well, so I'm not a fan of hers.
Not a fan of hers. What's your thoughts about the whole Hempstead story and the kids?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of what the children say ties in with a lot of what the survivors say. So I've got no reason to doubt the children at all. And I think when the children give their accounts, I mean, it was handled in the wrong way by everyone that's come across it. Even when the Guardians interviewed her, it was done in an appalling way. However, when the children did give what's known as a free-flowing narrative, I believe them.
Gotcha. So you're a believer of the children. I found their story to emulate kind of satanic ritual abuse, but some of it I found to be not credulous or credible. Also, the fact that the parents kind of ran off and then left.
The parents, I've got question marks over the parents, but
yeah.
The children, their narrative was too free-flowing. But the parents are,
I mean, the thing is that a lot of the people who I think are credible and have gone through these events, they're mentally,
they're scarred for life.
Yeah, they're scarred.
They're damaged and scarred for life.
You're talking to damaged people. I mean, I found that to be
true. Yeah, very, very damaged people, yeah. And they're emotionally damaged and, it's shocking. And there's a different sort of damage with the ritual abuse. So they end up with this multiple personality, the DID, and some of that can be very problematic.
Gotcha. John, we are at 90 minutes. Is there anything you'd like to add or anything I missed? And can you also give your contact information? I know you have a huge Twitter following, but people want to
read that. Yeah. I mean, I everything I do, I tend to do very covertly now and all that. But you can get me on my email, which is John Wedger. I'll answer that one for Wilf in a minute, but let me J-O-N Wedger, W-E-D-G-E-R, the word foundation at gmail.com. I can't guarantee I'll get back to people. I can't guarantee I can help. I will try. And that's that. I'll make no promises. And I do talk to people abroad. I mean, what I would say to people is, if you are a survivor of SRA, get your testimony out there, speak out, make it common, make it that others are prepared to speak out. And with that, you will have strength in numbers and you'll start being taken seriously. But why it's kept undercover, it remains undercover and they keep winning. Let's stop giving the devil these victories. Let's give some victory to Jesus for a change, and we only need one good, credible victory, and that's it. It's exposed for good, but while we don't get that, we keep getting these people like Karen Irving and all the other Satan followers, boasting and tribulating all the time. But Wilfred Wong remains in prison. God willing, he gets released. We just don't know. The justice system has been unreasonably harsh against him. Well, it would be, wouldn't it? Because this is a man with no previous convictions. I'm not saying that I agree with his actions or anything like that. However, I'll stand testimony to his character. He's a good man. He's a man of God. And he would not knowingly ever do anything to hurt a child, but he would do everything to expose Satanism. So, let's hope he gets an appeal and he gets released and he continues his good work.
Right. And great talk. Thanks for sharing all that information. There's a lot there and people can check it out on, I'll put links to some of the other interviews you've done. And then do you respond on Twitter or Do you care about
that? No, I won't respond on Twitter. Gotcha. Maybe on Facebook. Email I will. And what I would want people to do is I want a short paragraph, a bit of a commitment. Because if they are out to troll or anything else, at least there is something that, you know, that I can keep. And if the authorities need to be informed of these people, then I'll happily do that. But, I won't engage with stupidity anymore. But if I can help, I can help. And, you know, what I will say to people is, in order for the triumph of evil, it takes but for good people to do nothing, you know. Let's stop doing nothing. Let's start speaking out. Find your voice. They're the ones that have done wrong. They're the perverts. You know, to the victims, you know, you've done nothing wrong. You were a victim. You were a child. You had no choice. They had a choice and they chose to hurt. Be strong. Speak out. And let's expose these people. Expose them for what they are.
Amen. And again, your email is johnwedgerfoundation@gmail.com, correct?
Yeah, John, J-O-N, yeah, without an H.
You know. And again, it's John Wedger. Thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate
it. And I appreciate the time you've afforded me, William, and good luck with all your work.
Thanks.
And God bless. Thank you so much.
God bless you too. Thank you for your work. All right, yeah. Stay there.